What's up, guys? What's up, Pascal? How you doing? Irma and Sue and Melanie, what's going on? Leslie, how you doing? Dana Townsend, what's going on, Dana? Good to see you, Donna and Chris. James, what's going on? Good to see you. All right, good to see your beautiful faces here right before the new year and squeezing in this end of the year inner circle. What's up, inner circle family? So if you guys are here, first off, what a great time of year to be here. If you celebrate Christmas like I do, I hope you had an amazing Christmas. If you're a part of our, some of our other, I talked to some of you yesterday, a small group of you, but it's so nice to be with the inner circle family, especially we just got done with a holiday and now we're going into the new year. What a perfect time to really start setting the intention for a new year, right? You know, we always talk about New Year's resolutions and we want to set our goals and we have the things that we should leave in our past and we have the new things that we want to do. But I just want to get you really primed up. I want to give you every tool I have, every secret I've learned, every hack I've discovered that really allows us to lean into our full potential, right? You guys like, I don't have a t-shirt on today. It's actually cold in Phoenix. I know, Denise, it's a shock. No gray t-shirt today. It is cold in Phoenix. Now, I shouldn't say it's cold because anybody who lives outside of Phoenix, it's actually really cold. Cold here, it was 39 degrees this morning. Now that's cold. So I got my sweater on. But what a perfect time to be together. And so I wanna make sure all of you have this. Put it on your calendar right now, January 4th. If you hadn't seen it already, we're gonna be together January 4th. If you guys have known me for years, I've been doing a New Year's, let's set goals together for at least a decade. And I used to do it on New Year's Day. So it was like 11 o'clock, New Year's Day. I did it for about 7 years straight where we set our intentions and set our goals for the year together. Because who in here has created New Year's resolutions in your life that by February were gone, if you're really honest, right? So what I want to do is kind of what I do every year is kind of pull back the curtain and show how I look at the lens of creating a successful year, leaving the past behind you. How do you crush it? How do you set goals that stick and all that? And it's become this fun, amazing thing. I do it every year. This year, we're gonna give people a little break because some people are a little hungover on January 1st, I guess, or stayed up too late. So January 4th, mark it on your calendar. And this year, write this down. Don't go right now, but go to DG Zoom call. DG, somebody write it in the chat for me. DGZoomCall.com and reserve your spot because this year we're doing something different. This year I'm going to do it on Zoom just like this. So there's limited number of seats. So when you're done today, there's plenty of room. We haven't announced it to everybody yet. No, we haven't pushed it to our whole database yet. I think that's going out today or tomorrow. So there's room. So you don't have to rush right now. But when you're done, the first thing to do, go to dgzoomcall.com, reserve your spot. Then the team will send you a reminder, send you a link and all that. And it's really worth it because what we're going to do today, what we're going to do there is really how do we set goals that stick? How do we make it real? And, you know, I don't want to play this out and lean into it, but this is an insane time in our lives. I said this yesterday, I was with a small group of our team yesterday, but if someone would have told you a decade ago, rewind 10 years ago, and someone would have told you what's going on right now, you would have told them they're full of crap, right or wrong. From the craziness, from the separation, to the resignation, to the uncertainty, shutdowns, the diversity, the polarization of our world. It's a crazy time. And I think this is the year we get to bring it back together. And I think when people start realizing that no one on the outside world is gonna fix this, no one is coming to save us. No one's gonna wave a magic wand, whether you're super liberal or super conservative or you're right down the middle. No one's coming to fix this. Doesn't matter what happens in the next election. The only people who get to save this, get to fix this is us. So why not us be the group that start this transformation? If we can't control the outside world, we definitely gotta control the inner game. And that's what I want to obsess on for the next hour today with my Inner Circle family. Those of you, some of you are a part of mastermind.com, some of you are part of Project Next, some of you are part of our Next Level program, some of you are just a part of Inner Circle. This has been a family. I think we're heading on a decade. Some of you have been with me every month live for a decade, and it's such an honor and a privilege to serve. This is a place where, you know, I have different groups. This is a once a month, I don't know if you guys have ever heard me say this, but it's true. Like almost a decade ago, maybe 8 years ago when we launched this, I told the team I wanted to do something and bring this group together. I think it was $97 a month we launched it at, and the team said, okay, do it for 6 months, but then we need to raise it to $300 a month or $500 a month and go deeper. And we have never changed this. Some of you are part of another program, that's why you're here. Some of you are paying that minimal amount or $47 a month or whatever you're paying. We've never changed it because it became such a family. I come here every month and I'm relaxed. I don't overthink it. I obsess on what I'm gonna teach you, but I don't overthink it. I just have fun with you guys. And so many of you that are in the self-education industry, right? Those of you that are a part of Project Next, part of KBB, part of Mastermind, I hope when you come here, hear me, that you're not just learning what I'm gonna share today. I got a great topic I wanna talk about today. But I also hope you're getting to see the value of knowledge, the value of information, and how it can actually be fun. This is a membership, right? This is a membership that people pay for every single month, and I get to come and figure out over the whole month what was the biggest breakthrough I've learned that I think will impact your life the most. I take notes. You know, I obsess on my journals. I go through my journals of the whole month and I go, what was the biggest breakthrough? What's the biggest thing I learned? What would be the most impactful for my Inner Circle family? I take that, I spend about 2 hours, I lay the whole thing out, boom, I spend an hour with you guys. Nobody leaves Inner Circle. This is a family where everybody stays. I get to have fun. I see so many faces on here of people I met years ago. So I see brand new faces. And I get to hopefully impact your life. Take what serves you, throw the rest away. We get to spend time together. But it's also the self-education industry, because some of these things took me 20 years to figure out. And I can let you know about them in 15 minutes. Does that make sense? The value is massive. Who's happy they're a part of Inner Circle? Well, someone will want to be a part of your Inner Circle, right? So if this is a part, and even if you're not in the self-education industry, how do you add something like this to add value to your clients, to your family, to those that you can touch, right? So learn and model at the same time. So that's one thing. Secondly, I was trying to find a way today is to share something and teach something that I'm not going to be teaching on January 4th, but because you're a part of Inner Circle, you kind of get an unfair advantage by being here today, because I'm going to cover something that I'm not going to cover on January 4th that can get the ball rolling, that you can. I always look at New Year's Day. I want to come out of the gate New Year's Day like if everybody's lined up, like if it's a sprint or a marathon, whatever you want to say, for 2022, and everybody's on the starting line waiting for the ball to drop, and like, boom, you go, right? I want to be the guy that's like got a slingshot, and I'm like pulled all the way back. So then when it's like 2022, you let go of the slingshot, and I get to go out as way faster, quicker than anyone else. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing today. That's what we're going to prep. I'm going to give you a little thought process between now and January 4th. And January 4th, literally, do everything in your power to show up, right? All of you can come for free. You're all invited for free. You have to register, but you're all invited. It's not kind of free, it's completely free, but don't devalue it because it's free, right? If you want the opportunity to get upsell into VIP, you surely can for $47. And all that means is you get to keep the training. And my team added some killer bonuses, but no obligation and no pressure. Either way, just get your butt there. And also, one more thing, bring a family member. Get someone in your life, drag them screaming and kicking if you need to. Bring a husband that doubts what you're doing, a cousin, a relative, a mom, a sister. It's dgzoomcall.com. Get their butts there. This is not talking about self-education. It's about the stuff everyone needs, especially in what's going on right now, right? So let's think through this lens. If we're gonna maximize 2022, there's a lot of things we have to leave in 2022, and there's a lot of, or in 2021, and there's a lot of new things we have to focus on in 2022. And if we look at it like through Kaizen, the art of one small piece at a time. How do you run a 1,000-mile race? One step at a time, right? How do you win in your life? Get to that next level in your heart, your love, your compassion, your happiness, your joy, right? Your income, your career, your self-education business. It's one consistent step at a time. It's subtle shifts. And again, we're gonna go through those. But I wanted to pick something that I think most people miss out on. And today, I wanna focus on communication. Because our communication in 2022 has to change. It has to change. And I hope, I know we can change it. I hope the world understands that too. We are more polarized here in America. If we have many people on that are outside our country, but our country right now is more polarized on the opposite than ever before because of lack of communication. Most of us live in the middle and want to find a way to come together, but we have two sides so polarized, lack of communication. You know, when I was a kid here in America, and it shows how old I am, and this is not a political rant, guys. I'm just saying if we want to solve problems, if we want our businesses to make more money, if we want better love in our life, we want better relationship with our children, I'm telling you one of the things most people overlook is the art of communication. Right? How do worlds come together? If you're in a good relationship with your significant other, I mean a real good one, not that looks good on social media, but when no one's watching, it's a good relationship. One of your key components to your relationship is good communication. If you have a good relationship with your children when no one's watching, but you help through all their evolution, you communicate well with your children. If you're a business owner, and your team is not part of the 82% of the country that want to quit their job and they don't want to quit, guess what? You have a really good communication pattern and you know how to communicate with your team. That's just a fact. So we're going to cover a lot of things, but today I want to talk about communication. And I always like sharing something on here that I don't share anyplace else. So I want to tell you a little story about my son, Brody. And this art of communication in all areas of your life. And I want to give you five or six things that really can make you question your communication skills and improve your communication skills. You guys up for that? Who's ready to go deeper on communication for 2022, right? So, my son Brody turned 13 in December last month, right? Anybody who's ever been a parent of a teenager, you know exactly what I'm gonna share here in a moment. My daughter went through it 2 years ago, and it was shocking to go, like, one day there was this little girl living in my house, and like a day later there was a young woman living in my house. She was a foot taller and completely different ideals, and everything was different. The blueprint that I thought I had figured out changed overnight. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I thought I had Brianna figured out. It was completely different. And it took me some time to understand. What did I have to change? I had to change my communication, right? So it was hard. My daughter, Brianna, is 15. She was born on my birthday. She was born as my firstborn, and she's been daddy's little girl since day one. And all of a sudden, I have a young woman in her house that wants to fist pump me and not give me a hug and say, "What's up, dad," right? So that took a whole new level of communication to figure that out. And I'm blessed that I had the patience to figure that out. And it's still figured out. But my son, it was kind of a shocker. He's my boy. He's like my firstborn son. We play baseball. We play football in the backyard. I take him to all his baseball games. I take him to, like, I'm like, girls are different. Girls, I'm sorry, like, hormones and emotions come in. It's like, you don't even understand, right? It's like, when my daughter was going through it, I'd come in and go to give her a kiss goodnight. And she's like, "Dad, you don't have to sit on my bed and tell me a story and kiss me goodnight anymore." And then a day later, I'd stand at her door and say, "Goodnight, hon." She's like, "Oh, I don't get a kiss?" I'm like, "Okay, I'm trying here," right? Like, but I'm thinking to myself, my son, boys, it's like, you know, they get a little crazy. Hormones come in, they're a little crazy. My son, on the day he turned 13, I'm not joking, like something just dramatically shifted with him. Like, dad wasn't cool. I want to be out with my friends. He kind of likes this girl. He wants to know me. Is he too young? Is it just a girlfriend? Is it just someone he talks to? Everything changed. I felt like a fool. And guess what happened? Is this is only a month and a half ago. It's the reason it's so fresh in my mind, and I'm sharing this. And it's meant to not just be a story about my son. It's meant to share, you know, set up this day. I was using the same communication with my son for 30 days as I did for the last 13 years. And the things I was saying, he was looking at me sideways. And here's the crazy part. I was getting frustrated with him. And I found myself getting separated from him. And I found him like, who knows what I'm talking about when you feel this distance coming and you're just not, Penny, I see you shaking your head, right? I see you, Melanie, shaking your head, right? This distance in Pascal, this distance that came in, man, it's really hard when I know all of you love your kids as much as I love mine. So this is not, I love mine more. I love them the same as you do. But when you're connected in such a great way and all of a sudden it's drifting and the more you talk, the more it repels them and you talk louder and it repels them more. So what did I have to change? And I have to tell you, it's only been about a week. I had to figure out, listen, I've never been the father of a 13-year-old boy. He's never been a 13-year-old boy. The communication style, the words I'm using, the things I'm saying are repelling him, not attracting him. It's like if someone doesn't speak your language. How about when you meet someone that doesn't speak your language and when they can't understand you, you just say it a little louder? Like, that's literally what we do. And that's what I was doing with him. It's like, he's not getting me. Let me say it louder. And the louder I went, the further he went away. So what do? Do I ground him? Do I yell at him? Or do I learn to adjust my communication? So the reason I'm sharing this is because some of the most important things in my life, of course, are my children. Of course, are my wife and my team that's in the other room. You guys. What I do for a living is an extension of my soul. I am blessed that I never feel like I'm working. I love this. I woke up at 3:18 this morning with things about my company on my mind. I couldn't go back to sleep. I love what I do every single day. I want to get better. I need to communicate better with you because if I don't communicate with you, you'll bail and go listen to someone else. And maybe they don't care as much as I do or they don't have the capabilities to share with you what I do. So I best adjust my communication style. And for those of you who've been with me for a long time, I hope you've seen that my communication patterns have shifted a little during COVID, during shifts, during times of uncertainty, during times when we question ourselves. If I came on here full guns a-blazing, the same person every single time, like, right? So if we know the world has changed and we want to dominate and make 2022 the best year of our lives, one of the biggest ingredients that I want to talk about today and set this tone before January 4th is how do we start adjusting our communication? I have to tell you, he turned 13 on December 8th. And just in probably the month before and until now, my son has been going further and further away from me. I've been just doing it louder and more and deeper and it's not working. And I was like a fool. And then about a week ago, I realized, you idiot, change your communication and some of the things we're going to go through and listen more and some factors we're going to go through. And in the last week, my son's coming back. Nothing changed. He's still going through puberty. He's still a train wreck. He's still trying to figure out, this is too much information. I'm sorry, TMI. I walked in his bathroom yesterday and it smelled like a locker room. I'm like, oh my God, like, you're growing up, boy. Like, we got to make some changes. But I had to change my communication style. He likes a girl. It's the first time he's 13, the first time he ever thinks a girl's cute. And what's that consist of? They text each other about 3 times a week. Like, but still, if I'm talking to him like the 12-year-old rather than the 13-year-old, all I'm doing is push him away. So let's think about that. 2022 is the 13-year-old. 2021 was the 12-year-old. If we look through that simple lens, if we bring the conversation, if we bring the communication with us, we won't maximize. How great would that? Oh, this is what I was saying about my age. I'm sorry I digressed. And then I'm gonna get to some actual bullets here. My age will say, again, I don't care what political party you are, right? When I was a kid, Ronald Reagan was president. And where Ronald Reagan was the first president that, you know, did you ever see? I think more people follow politics now than ever before because it's so freaking dramatically different. Like, it is extreme, right? But it was the first time, and I learned this later on in history, did you know the entire country, except for two states, voted for Ronald Reagan? The entire, you know, if you go blue and red, the entire country went red for Ronald Reagan. And I wondered, I'm like, that doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, but why did the whole country go red? But then why did people, I'm sure there's things he did wrong, and I'm only talking about one piece. They called him the great communicator. I don't know if you guys know that, right? But let me just share something with you. The part that I like about communication, whether you agree with his principles or not, is Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House back then. Now, I didn't know what the Speaker of the House was. I was too young. I didn't realize Speaker of the House was from the Democratic Party and Ronald Reagan was a Republican. But you know what Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill did more than once a week? They got in a car together and went to lunch and disagreed completely, absolutely disagreed. But at lunch, they would come up with a way what they thought was best for the country with two different parties. Wouldn't you pray for that to happen in today's world right now? Again, I don't care what side you're on, but isn't it so divided? And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to divide us. I really believe that. And I don't know why. I don't know the agenda of that, right? But wouldn't it be great if your two leaders, if you saw them at lunch, if you saw, you know, two completely opposite people at lunch disagreeing? You know, there's a great story. And the cool part, I'm gonna butcher this, and then I'm gonna get to my teaching. Sorry, you guys are like family, so I'm just sharing how my thoughts, my beliefs. Doesn't mean you have to agree with me. I'm just telling you what my dream would be, but also there's an example of what communication does. Tony Robbins, my partner and dear friend, he interviewed Ronald Reagan, and he interviewed Gorbachev when the Soviet Union ended, right? The story is so cool because I'm not getting it third party. I got the story. I'm one source away from the truth. Ronald Reagan told Tony, Gorbachev told Tony. Tony worked for like 2 years to get an interview with him. Finally was on a plane, if you could jump on a plane with him and when he flies for an hour, you can interview him. And basically, and I'm gonna paraphrase, is one believed communism was the answer and capitalism was evil. And the other believed capitalism was what creates freedom and communism is evil. They couldn't be more opposite. And as the story goes, and they both told it really similar but a little different, they were sitting down and Ronald Reagan is trying to pressure Gorbachev to end communism. And Gorbachev is saying how capitalism can lead to evil. And they're arguing, and they're communicating. And they're going back and forth. And as the story goes, I'm gonna paraphrase and mess this up. Ronald Reagan said, "This isn't working. Let's go for a walk." And he said, everybody's like, "Well, we can't walk here. We just can't walk out in the streets." And Secret Service came around and they finally went for a walk. And during that walk, Ronald Reagan put his arm around him and said, we disagree completely. And whatever he said in his communication, that when they got back in the room is when Gorbachev decided to end communism as they knew it. All of that took place because people were willing to shift, willing to communicate, willing to listen, even if it's something you absolutely disagree on. And I think that's why we're in a weird place. I disagree with a lot of things that are out there, but I try to force myself to try to understand. What I always tell is like, put someone else's glasses on for a moment. If you didn't live in their shoes, if you didn't grow up where they grew up, if you don't have the background that they have, you must live through their lens. You have to, because if not, you get so protective of who you are, and then everything starts insulting you and and it just pushes us further away. Wouldn't it be great if our politicians could look through that lens and put people first, not their agendas and re-elections first? And I think that would help us. But we can't count on them, but we can count on us. So I wanna go over some things today that I'd like you to consider before we're together on January 4th. When it comes to communication, think about this. I wanna tell you another little story here. I've always felt like an underdog. And I don't know if you have, we all have our thing. I was small in school, I had dyslexia, my family didn't have money, we all got our own thing. If you came for money and your parents were perfect, you feel like We're all our underdogs in our own way. But that really translated to where for a while I tried to be somebody different. I tried to run away from the dean I was, where I still can't read a book. I listen to a book a month, but I don't physically read a book, right? Because I have dyslexia so bad. There's a lot of things that I moved away from. And then I tried to be someone else, that didn't work. And I love the fact that I'm back to me. I was joking in the beginning, I do wear a t-shirt every day of my life, right? This is fancy for me today, right? I do dress casual. I do coach Little League and softball. I do some really things that I want to do. Now, why am I sharing that? Because I'm going to go back to this story. It translated to I've become so wanting to be me that I've leaned into this so much that I've also created it as a badge of honor. So here's what I want to share with you. I believe, one of the best negotiators. If we had to negotiate and we were negotiating a deal, I would make sure we both win, but we'd get that deal done if it makes sense for both of us. We'd get the deal done. Another really good thing in negotiating sometimes, if it doesn't make sense, it's best to just walk away and don't force it. But I got to tell you a little story. I love going to a meeting, especially when everybody wears a suit. Now, I am not knocking you if you wear a suit. I just don't even have one, right? I love going to a meeting with really important people, and I love being the only one to walk in with a gray t-shirt on and jeans. Don't care if it's $1 million deal, a dollar deal, or a $20 million deal. I love going with a t-shirt. And I'm gonna give you a little secret on how I win negotiations. You guys ready for this one? I really want you to hear this because it works with my kids. It just worked with my son Brody this week. It worked with my daughter. It works so well that sometimes don't use it on your spouse, because winning doesn't necessarily mean you actually win. You might win the battle, but you'll lose the war. So guys especially, doesn't mean stop winning. But let me just tell you, I love going into a meeting where there's 5 or 6 people and everybody's, and what happens most of the time, especially with dudes, guys love sharing about themselves, what they want. Right? Let me tell you why this deal could work. I've been doing this type of deal for 52 years or 32 years or 18 years. And when we put this together, when we merge these two companies, da, 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 da. And then the next person goes, yes, that's why I want to tell you. The reverse merger acquisition, and people want to brag. They want to pound their chest. They want to impress the people at the table. Who's dressed nicer? Who could talk nicer? Who could articulate better? Who's got the best PowerPoint? Who's got the best result? And everybody's like, right? And I've noticed this with guys. And what I've realized and how I win is I will go to a meeting like that and say nothing, nothing. To the point where I'm guessing halfway through, people are saying, they told us this Dean guy was smart. He came in a $5 t-shirt and he hasn't said a word, right? But what am I doing? I'm gonna share something with you. What am I doing? I'm writing down what the goals, fears, desires, outcomes of each person are. I could see one guy, he wants to pound his chest and he wants to be the forward man. He wants to be able to say he closed this deal. All right, Bob, he likes certainty. So I'll give Bob a little certainty. Okay, Leslie, you know, she's behind the scenes. She's actually the brains behind the organization. She's not the loudest one in the room, but she's the smartest one in the room. And she sees this in a logical way. And I'll just take notes and I'll listen. And usually I'm the last one to speak, and this will set up what I want to teach today. And I'll think to myself, after I heard everyone, if this deal makes sense, I'm closing it. If it doesn't, I'd rather say, I don't think this is going to work for us, guys. I heard what you said. I get it, but that's not where we are. Usually, and I will sometimes, and I'm going to give you a little secret here, if you're ever negotiating, sometimes if they're not talking in a way where I get enough information, I will simply say, hey, guys, if we made this deal, I want you to hear this right now. If we made this deal and it was a year from now and it was the best deal you ever made, what would that look like? You could do that with your kids. Okay, if I say yes, you can go to that college, you can go to that party, you can be friends, you can finally have a boyfriend. If it was a year from now and everything went great, what would that look like for you? Hey, our marriage, our intimacy is falling. I don't want that to be. If it was a year from now and our intimacy was the best it ever has been in our lives, hun, what would that look like to you? If our partnership in this business was the best partnership in the history of the world, we trusted each other, we had each other's backs, we flourished, we thrived. If it was a year from now and this was the best partnership of your life, what would that look like? I don't think we're connected as a couple anymore. You have your life, I have mine. I want to be connected. If it was a year from now and we were the most connected couple sharing and going after this world together, what would that look like in your eyes? You see how that question can work in so many different areas? Now, are you telling them who you are? I'm a great communicator. I love you so much. I feel like I've been doing so much for you. Why aren't you doing enough for me? I'm such a good parent. I've done so much for you. You don't even know the things I do behind the scenes. How dare you not talk to me? How dare you turn 13 and stay up in your room? How dare you think you can have a boyfriend? Like, that's all the stuff that repels people. Where simultaneously, when you say, hey, if this was the best father-son relationship in the world, a year from now, what would that look like, bro? What would it look like if we closed this deal? What would it look like if you come on as a client of mine? My favorite thing is when people want to do business with me, I'll say, before we want to do business, I consult for some bigger companies, and a lot of times I get ownership of the company. And right now, more than ever, I have so many companies that want to give me a percentage of their company if I will be on their board or consult. There's just not enough time in the day. It's something I'm ridiculously lucrative. So I will say to them, hey, before we even think about this, do me a favor, send me a one-pager. If I come on as a consultant, and it was a year from now, and it went out, it was the best consulting deal that you've ever done in your life, what does that look like for you? And here's what I know. Sometimes they'll come back with a laundry list like 5 miles long. I'm like, hell no. I am not. Like, you want me to run your whole company. I want 50% if you want that. Where I just had someone come back. They gave me 5% of their company. And they said, all I want is a one-hour phone call a month to make sure we're going in the right direction. Boom, I'm done. That's the best year of your life. I'll take the 5%. I even invested with their company a little bit. So that magical question can set up the best conversation and communication in your life. And I'm gonna go back to the story in a second here, but I want you to hear this first one. I know you've heard this. God gave you two of these and one of these. Use more of these. The biggest secret to negotiating and communication, let's not even say negotiating, let's just say communication, is listening. The biggest pandemic in our modern society is nobody's listening. They're just freaking shouting. They're not hearing what other people have to say. They're not hearing other people's worries. They're not hearing other people's fears. They're not hearing about other people's past. They're just shouting. So you want to learn to communicate, hear, and hear with not just your brain, hear with your heart. Let what people are saying sink in. So back to this boardroom analogy, but I've won so many of these, won, negotiated, communicated well. I will set that question in the beginning if they're not already saying it. And when I listen, if it's all realistic expectations, each person is telling you what they need. Bob needs significance. Leslie needs certainty. This guy, don't even know why he's here, but I'll make him feel good, right? Like, you just need to know what everybody wants. And at the end, I take in all that information. By then, they probably think I'm the dumbest guy in the room who's dressed the worst in the room. And then I close the deal and leave as the smartest guy. Because all I do is repeat what they say. Bob, listen, I've been hearing you. I want to make this deal happen too. And I know you want certainty, but dot, 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 dot. Does that sound good? Would that be a match? Oh, great. Leslie, I think you're the brains behind this operation. I say that jokingly, but it's kind of true. And I know you're looking at it through the lens of this is a long-term play. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't a long-term play. I'm here. If you look at my relationships, when I get involved with people, it's a 5 to 10 year relationship. So I hope that solves that. And then I go through the room and say, hey, so here's what I propose. I heard all of you guys. This is what I'm thinking. And I share. And it's always like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Did you know there was a Harvard study? Now, I've been citing this forever, so I don't remember where I got it, but it was a Harvard study that said, if you tell a therapist for the first half hour of an hour session, if you tell a therapist all the things that are bugging you and why you feel the way you feel, and the second half, all the therapist does is repeat back what you told them, 98% of the people give the therapist credit for being smarter than them. Matson, I see you shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like you say, oh, I just, you know, my dad never gave me the love that I think I deserved. And it kind of messes with me, comes in my, you know, love life. And then the second half hour, the therapist says, you know, your dad, I see, didn't give you the love that you deserved. And now it's hard for you to find love in your life. You're like, oh my God, you are brilliant. Yes, you know me. It's like, yeah, because you just told me a half hour ago, right? But what do most people try to do? They try to come in as a therapist and say, hey, before you tell me everything, let me tell you about me. I've been a therapist for 32 years. I know how to save. No one gives a shit. People care about what they care about. So if we want to master the art of communication, we have to listen more. Remember, please write this down. People will listen to you. They will learn from you. They will buy from you when they feel understood, not when they understand you. It's a long one, but maybe someone could write that down. People will listen to you, learn from you, and buy from you when they feel understood, not when they understand you. Did you guys ever go, you've heard me say this before, did you ever go to who's been to a live event, virtual, in person, right? And did you ever see a speaker that goes up and talks mostly, thank you guys, Christine and everybody that's writing this down, thank you. Did you ever see a speaker that talks about themselves? And it's actually a cool presentation. You don't take one note. You don't feel emotionally connected to them. But you're like, oh, that's cool. Glad that all worked out for you. Yay, thumbs up. And you wait for the next speaker, right? Laura, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's like, okay, cool. And then there's another speaker. They're 10 minutes in. You got 10 pages of notes. Your heart is pounding. You're like, oh my God, yes. That's exactly how I feel. Oh, I felt that too. Oh my God. And you're writing it down. What are the difference between the two? The first person was trying to make you understand them, who they are, their credentials, what they've done. The second person wanted you to feel understood. I've been where you are. I know what it feels like. I felt like an imposter. I was in a relationship with no love. I forgot what it's like to have self-love. I lost myself being a mom, being a wife, being a businesswoman. I forgot who I was. I know those feelings. The lonely nights with a glass of wine and a book and crying, not knowing where to go. I've been there, but I also know how to get out of it. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, that was me. I remember the glass of wine. And you're living this experience compared to someone saying, I'm a doctor. I've been doing this for 42 years. Let me crush that depression. It's like, eh, cool, thanks, right? So what am I pounding in here? Why do I win those negotiations? Not because I'm the smoothest talker, dressed the nice, or the loudest in the room, because usually I'm the best listener in the room. The only time that it doesn't work out so great if it's a room of all women, because women are intuitively better listeners. You guys have better, listen, you guys were born with an unfair advantage. I want the women to hear this. I want the guys to respect this. My wife is the most intuitive human in the world. You guys were born with like spidey senses. My wife, we'll go to a meeting, I'll bring my wife. She's like, seems like a good dude. Don't do business with him. I'm like, babe, sweet guy, good dad. No, it's fine. What happens a year later? Oh, I should have never done business with that guy. She's like, told ya, right? Like, you guys are born with that. You're better listeners and you're intuitive. Guys, we can all take lessons from our wives, or from our significant other, or our sisters, or our moms, or just women in our lives, right? So, listen more. Let people feel understood. And with that, why I'm saying that, are we having the same communication right now as we did a year ago or 2 years ago? How about the communication? Who got together with some family during the holidays? Raise your hand if you got together with a couple people or two or more people over the holidays, right? Is it the same conversation you had this holiday season as you did last holiday, the year before, or how about 3 years before? Is it the same exact conversation or is it different? It's different, right? Are some people worried about inflation if you're here in America? Are some people worried about COVID? How about some of the extreme conversations, right? To vax or not to vax, right? Like, if you're not vaccinated, are you the most evil human being on the world trying to kill others? Or are you just someone that's applying your freedom? I'm not judging or telling you which one you should be. I'm just asking you, right? Some people, you are an absolute horrific human being if you're not vaccinated wearing a mask. To someone else, if you are, then you're sheep. You're modeling what everybody else does. I'm not saying which one's right, but am I right about those conversations? My mom, I love my mom more than ever. She is triple vaxxed, wear a mask. If I'm not, I just happen to live in a state where no one cares. We never shut down here in Arizona. We never put seats further away. No one ever wore masks. Like, it's just a different place. When I jump on a plane and have to go someplace else and I land, it's like a culture shock. And I know if I walk out of and I forget to put a mask on, people are looking at me like, that horrible bastard. I just forgot because I live in a different space and vice versa, right? Literally, well, if you're out to dinner here in Arizona and there's a table of people with a mask on, not judging. I just hear other tables go, California people are visiting. Like, it's just different, right? It's just different. But why I'm saying this is people have the right to their own opinions. But if we don't listen, if we don't understand, if we don't look through their lens, if we don't understand their fears, if we don't understand their goals and desires, then we will not communicate effectively in this new world. Can we agree this is a new world? Can we agree the world is not going back to the way it was? And there's been shifts in throughout human history. There's always shifts. This is a shift. This is surely a shift. So if we want to thrive, if we want to impact those we love, if we want our businesses to thrive, we better change our communication style. We better start listening. You better put the glasses on of what people on the complete opposite end of the spectrum are thinking. How do we kill separation? Better communication. How do we come back together as a nation, as a world? Better communication. How do you sell more, impact more, increase the sales in your business? Communication. How do you bond with your significant other better? Communication. How do you bond with your family, your children, those in your life that you love? Communication. So, here's another one I want to share with you. Live inside the mind of the person you or people you want to communicate with. So, I have to try to live inside the mind of my now 13-year-old son and try to remember what it was like when I was 13. And I have to live inside the mind of my 15-year-old daughter. And I also have to live inside the mind of my wife. So you guys mind, this is my, you guys are like family. So I'm gonna share something with you. I legit have the greatest relationship in the world. I'm married to the love of my life and it's awesome. And I'm not bragging because I screwed up. I was a part of the screw up of my previous marriage. It wasn't all on her, just as much me. And I could have communicated better. And there's some pieces, that's how we grow. Like I can't turn back time, I can learn from it. Thank goodness, she is an amazing mom, my previous wife. She's a dear friend, and that's awesome. But I wanna tell you, I've saw, because I obsess on communication, because I know my wife, because I love being in love, I love the fact that my wife still looks at me every morning like it's the first week we met. It is the most magical thing I could ever share with anyone. I walk in a room, if my wife looks at me, she looks at me a way that takes my knees out. She still looks at me like I'm the greatest human she's ever seen. And I feel so blessed, and it just makes me mirror that back to her. But I'm gonna tell you a little something. My wife's a badass. She had her own business when I met her. She was voted the top hairstylist in Arizona, 8 out of 10 years. She has her own business right next door. It's not easy being married to me because I am like a steamroller, and life kind of, because my business has gotten so big and my schedule is so nuts, a lot of life has to revolve around me. I hate to say it, but it's true. I travel a lot. I have to go and speak. I'm partners with my partner, Tony Robbins. I help also run Tony's company and the company we own together and my own company. And I own over 100 different houses and I have a real estate division and I'm writing a new book and I want to be a good dad to my older children. And man, a lot of life revolves around me. So you marry a powerful, amazing woman who's used to having her freedom, control of her time, control of her business, control of everything. And all of a sudden you marry a man who's like, you're like, hey, I gotta be, it's like, no, babe, we're jumping on a plane. I got a deal to close in Malibu. Or I gotta go down to Florida and talk to Tony. And I wanna tell you, my wife's business is amazing. But in comparison, my wife has a great year. It could be hundreds and hundreds of thousands. I have a great year, it's tens of millions of dollars. So there's sometimes, I'm being really personal now. I wanna tell you how, like, why communication is so important. She could say, hey, babe, but I was going to do this thing. And I, in my head, I'm like, you're going to do a $500 hair extension thing that you want to do. I'm going to close a $20 million deal. Scrap that, get on the plane, we're out of here, right? Those are some of the things I know I did in previous relationships. Mine's bigger, mine's more important. It's about me. Be happy, we're wealthy, you get to have freedom. Jump on the plane, do what the hell I say. Can you see how, as a guy, that's easy to just say, I got this, I'm working, I got this shit, hon, don't even worry. You never have to work again, close your shop. Close it down, we don't need it. That's how my previous self thought of things. Just being honest, this is how we grow. But now I have to think about that all the time. And I make compromises and I communicate with her in a way, say, babe, what you did is absolutely amazing. And if you want me to shift that, I'll move my meeting. And we adjust and we communicate and she'll have the nerve to come to me and say, babe, all last month it was all about you. Can I work on a little bit? I'm like, oh my God, did I do that to you? All right, tell me. And we'll communicate and we'll talk. I want to tell you, in my 30s, it would have been like, mine is multimillionaire, yours is peanuts, my way or the highway, without even realizing I was saying that. Can you guys understand? I'm not a bad human. I didn't ever think I was doing anything. I thought I was working hard for my family. It's like, I'm talking about leaving legacy. I want to make sure my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren are protected. And I have you guys to worry about and my Project Next family and self-education family and my partnerships. I have so much to worry about. It's me. How do you think my relationship would be with my wife if it was all about me? How do you think it would be when I walked in a room if I squashed her dreams and her desires and just made it all about me and didn't communicate? Laura, I see you, right? I'd walk in a room, my wife would be like, hey, jackass. You know what I mean? Think about it. Like, that's where it would be. So how important? I know some of you are like, how is this going to set up my year? I'm just telling you, the communication skills you think you have right now that are good, they could be better. Because if you would have asked me in my 40s about if I was a good communicator, I would have said, one of the best in the world because I can close deals. Great, I also went through a divorce in my 40s. How good of a communicator was I, right? If I didn't acknowledge the shifts in my son Brody, man, there was many times. Who in here has more than one child? Raise your hand if you have more than one child. Okay, those that raise your hand. If you have more than one child, who in here has two children that are completely different even though they were raised the same DNA, like night and day? My daughter is like a warm cup of coffee. Like, it is so easy to communicate with my daughter. Whatever I say, we flow, we jive, we think alike. My son, oh my God, he's the smartest kid I've ever seen, way smarter than me. And everything I said along this journey of my son who's now 13, there was years of greatness and there'd be 3 months of hell because it was like I talked Spanish to him. What did I have to do? The same things I'm sharing with you. I had to listen more. I had to live inside of his mind. I had to understand him better. I had to ask more questions. I had to set up things so I could really understand. He was speaking Spanish and I had to get translations, right? The next thing I want to share with you is in your business, whatever business, I hope you're in the self-education industry, I hope you're already making sales or on your way to making sales or whatever business you're in, you must find groups of people that are your ideal demographic. You have to find your ideal demographic and get in those groups and everything we just said, ask the questions. See what the common threads are. See. I don't want to oversimplify this, but we really must know. If we're going to call our future clients our prospects, we must live inside the mind of our prospect. And that really is just knowing two things. What are their biggest goals, dreams, and desires? So what are their goals? And what are their biggest fears and worries? We got to know that. You want to communicate with somebody? Know what their biggest fears and worries are. My 13-year-old, doesn't want to look stupid in front of his friends. It's one of his biggest worries. He doesn't want his dad to have his arm around him and kiss him anymore and try to hold his hand, right? Like, I understand his biggest fear. His biggest fear is that he likes this girl and she might like someone else who's older or taller. Like, I'm learning his fears, but I also know his goals. But I do that in business. I want to know your biggest fears. I know if you're in the self-education industry, I know one of the biggest fears is being an imposter. You feel like you're not good enough to do it. You feel like you need permission. You feel like there's people smarter than you. You feel too old and technology's too hard. You feel like you missed your window. You feel like marketing is too hard. I know all those fears. But you also have the dream of impacting others, making money from home, being in something you can be proud of, changing people's lives, being on stage someday or having a big audience online. I know your fears, I know your dreams. Every single week, I try to squash your fears, overcome them, and deliver you the tools to get to where you want to be. If you know that, then that's how we can communicate. That's why so many of you have been with me 8 years here every single month, because hopefully, I understand what you're worried about. Well, simultaneously, I know where you want to go. That's what we need to do going into this new year, more than you did last year. I know some of you are already doing it. So many of you, every one of you is successful in your own way. Don't we want more success? Even if success is just being happier, joyful, more love, happiness, intimacy, passion, freedom. This is part of it. There's no magic wand. There's no get rich quick button, have intimacy button, kids love you to death button. There just isn't. If it was, I'd mass produce them and I'd mail them to all of you. But these are the things we got to do. A couple more things I want to share is when we communicate, if we're doing it face to face or on video, there are different tonalities and different, don't be one size fits all is really what I want to say. Match the room. Match the person you're dealing with, right? Some people are slow and more methodical and more logical. Some people are high energy and like the rabbit, just give it to me. Tell me what I need to know in the next 10 minutes and I'll be yes or no. That's me. Like I am not the law. I get things really quick, or at least I believe I do. It's like, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what the outcome could be and I'll let you know. My sister, who's more logical based, you'd have to sit with my sister for a good hour and explain. You know, if Laura, you're selling one-on-one coaching, you could say to me, hey, I'm a coach on how to be a better parent. I know how to get through the teenage years better than anyone else. If we work together once a week, your kids will love you. You'll be connected and bonded more than anything else. Good, done. You talk to my sister, she'd say, so what are your references? What have you done in the past? How long have you been doing this? She'd still say yes at the end, but you'd take an hour to sell my sister. You'd take exactly 6 minutes max to sell me. Match, figure that out. Figure out how to sell the room, how to communicate with someone on the other side. I know my daughter, I literally can give my daughter like a quick little two sentence lesson and she's like, that makes sense, Dad. My son will be like, that doesn't make any sense, Dad. I do not understand. What the hell does that mean? Like, same message, completely different. I gotta spend more time with him. With my wife, man, all I gotta do with my wife is listen. Know that she's loved. Let her know that I truly, not just hyperbole or fake, I truly love what she loves and what's important to her is important to me. If I let my wife know what's important to her is important to me, if I let her be seen, if I let her be heard, damn, I got the best wife in the history of the world. She spoils me rotten. When I forget to do that, I'm a different place. So going into this new year, let me see on the chat. Where are the most important conversations? Where do you need to step up your communication skills? Is it with your spouse or significant other? Is it with your children? Is it with your coworkers? Is it with your team? Is it with your potential clients? Is it with your current clients? Is it your future clients, right? My son, my daughter, right? So I thought today, thank you. I am so happy to see spouse, family, son, brother, right? Because here's what I do know. If we don't change our communication, if I didn't change my communication, I'm the last thing I'm gonna share here, is if I didn't change my communication with my son, Brody, I share it now because we have a great relationship and I'm not talking about this last 13-year-old hiccup. I went through a really weird phase from like 7 to 9 with my son, and then again at 10 for a little while, is I really couldn't figure him out. At least that's what I told myself. It's like everything I did just was like oil and water. And I found myself a couple times yelling at him and freaking out. Anybody yell at your kid or raise your voice and you go downstairs, you're like, what a jackass I am. Like that was the dumbest thing in the world. Why the hell would I yell? It didn't solve or serve in any way possible. And I have to tell you, there was a point where I said, wow, I'm never gonna be close to my son, Brody. He's gonna be one of those kids that goes away to college, never comes back. And on Christmas, I get a card, maybe a text. Literally, there was times where I thought that because it was so difficult. And if I didn't address that, if I didn't understand the code of Brody and learn how to communicate with him, that's possibly what could have happened. And there's no way in hell I'm gonna go out. Maybe it happens, but I'm gonna go down fighting. And I am gonna be the person that learns, grows, and shifts our communication. I share a lot about my family, but it all ties together. You guys are like family, my inner circle team, but take that for all areas of your life. If we don't understand the way our prospect, our future clients are thinking in today's world, you're gonna miss it. If you don't communicate with the right messaging in your marketing, you're gonna miss it. If you don't communicate to get your spouse or significant other on board to support this mission you're on, you're gonna miss it. If you don't shift your communication with your children, your sister, your spouse, your friends, you're gonna miss it. So that's why I wanted to plant this little seed today. It's not that complicated. Put on their glasses, walk in their shoes, allow them to feel understood, listen more, understand their dreams, understand their goals, understand their fears and their biggest worries. You do that going into 2022 and we get to rock the house. Guys, I appreciate you so much. Thanks for being here and part of this inner circle today. Use this as a primer. We are gonna crush it on January 4th. Go sign up right now. Literally, it's free, but you gotta register because it's Zoom and I'd hate for them to run out. You go to dgzoomcall.com. All the details are there. Go register. I appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for being a part of my inner circle family. Like always, we'll see you next month. Have an awesome new year. Love you guys. See you soon.